And so today we get a chance to jump back into our sermon series that we, it's been a couple weeks since we've been in it, but we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to jump back in. And Pastor Dan preached 2 weeks ago on the first little section of Matthew chapter 6. And in this first chapter, we looked at religious practices, the start of this new section where Jesus teaches on religious practices. And has some warnings and some concerns regarding religious practices. And so we looked at specifically giving to the poor. And if you remember from a couple weeks ago, I'm not expecting a pop quiz. My memory's not that great either, so this is okay. No worries. Don't want to stress anybody out. But we looked at giving and just this idea that in our giving, not to be hypocritical, but to aim to give in ways that are not seen, to work on the inner spiritual practices, the inside, and focus on those before the outside ones, before the outside ones, and then just to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to reveal hypocrisy in our giving, so that we can live lives out of our love for Christ and genuinely giving and doing that because of what God has done for us. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at the next little bit of that chapter together. And we're going to look at start at verse 5, if you want to find that. And as we get into this section of Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at another religious practice that Jesus brings up. And this one is on prayer. So last week, actually, let's read that together. Well, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 5. Jesus says this, "When you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. But I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." So we shift into the next section of next part of Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus begins and moves on from talking about giving, and he moves on to talking about prayer. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dan mentioned something about giving, where he said the practice of giving was an assumed practice around the time of Jesus. It was assumed. And the same thing comes along when Jesus talks about prayer. Prayer for Jesus and for the people that he's talking to is an assumed religious practice. It's something there was no question about it. There was no doubt when it came to God's expectations for who people were, for how they were supposed to live, for what they were supposed to do. Prayer was an intentional and regular part of that life. And so as we started digging into this passage, I thought it'd be helpful to sort of define and sort of frame up prayer, just really briefly, because as we look at what Jesus means about prayer, it'll help us, I think, as we dig in and get further along here. So some of you may know John Mark Comer. He is a former pastor at Bridgetown Church in Portland, Oregon. He's now currently the ministry leader of a ministry called Practicing the Way. And this is a ministry that equips churches for spiritual formation. And he defines prayer this way, which I think is really, really great. He says, "Prayer is a portal to life with God." Prayer is a portal to life with God. And he goes on to say, this is his definition, he goes on to break it down. He says, in being this portal to, as we pursue life with God, prayer consists of four things, he says. He says it consists of, one, talking to God. Then he says it consists of talking with God, listening to God, and then the fourth thing is being with God. So talking to God, talking with God, listening to God, and being with God. And as we, again, as we look at prayer this morning and look at Jesus' warnings on prayer, I think this definition and this understanding of what prayer consists of and what it looks like is, I think, will be helpful to us as we aim to look at what this means for us today. So we get into the text and we look at right away at verse 5. Jesus says, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. And Jesus, don't pray like the hypocrites. And so Jesus, we have to remember, right, again, it's prayer for Jesus and for the people listening is an assumed way, assumed part of life. It's an assumed religious practice. And in this case, there was a particular type of prayer that often happened. So there's a commonly held prayer practice during the time of Jesus where for the Jewish people, they would do the same thing every day. They would have twice a day in the morning and the evening where they would go and they would pray the Shema. So the Shema is the passage from in the book of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. If you're familiar with that passage. They would pray this passage. They would recite this in prayer, morning and evening. And then alongside that, throughout the day, they would have three other times of prayer. At 9 a.m., at noon, and at 3. Where wherever they were, they would stop and they would go. And they would often turn toward the temple and face as the temple represented the manifest presence of God. They would turn and recognize as if they were looking to God and to his presence, recognizing it, and they would recite the 18 benedictions. And so they would do this every day. So again, this is an assumed prayer practice. This is something that Jesus has in mind as he's talking about prayer. But it's important to understand where Jesus is getting at here, because as we read this, it can be easy to come to this passage and to assume that Jesus is criticizing or calling out public prayer, because this is a very public style of prayer, right? Jesus says, don't pray like those who stand in the synagogue, stand in the streets. But if we look a little bit closer, what we'll see is that Jesus actually is calling out not public prayer, but prayer to be seen. The end of verse 5 says, these people, they pray standing up in the synagogues, pray in the street corners, they pray to be seen by men, the end of verse 5. See, and through the scriptures, right, Jesus values prayer. It's very important to him. The early church through history, the disciples, the apostles, they all value prayer as a really important part of life, as a really important part of our pursuit of, if we think of this definition that we looked at a few minutes ago, like pursuing life with God, right? And so Jesus sees prayer as a good thing. So he's not criticizing this public prayer, but what he is doing is saying, He's saying, okay, there's something wrong here. Something's happening. These people who are taking this genuine prayer practice that occurred, these were the religious people, and they would go and they would use this and they would sort of use it for their own advantage. They would show up and they would sort of orient their day, their schedule, their time, and they would plan it so that when their time came time for prayer, that they were in the right place at the right time. That they were the ones who were in the spot where their voice could be heard the loudest. That they were the ones that were seen to be as so righteous and so that they had it all put together. They planned it and organized it this way. And Jesus says, okay, that's a problem. It's praying to be seen. It's this. The issue is that they valued public attention. And so this is the issue that arises, right? And Jesus' warning in this passage about prayer comes when our lives and prayer practices become hypocritical. This is like pretending to be someone that we're not, or doing the right thing for the wrong reason, to get attention, to get noticed, these kind of things. Now, we talked a few weeks ago, this is going back even further, I'm testing your memory here. This is good. Hopefully you guys remember all this. We looked at Matthew chapter 5, and in the Matthew chapter 5, right, Jesus outlined all of these teachings on the law, and he summarized, okay, here's what it looks like to live a righteous life. Right, here's what it looks like, and he gave us all kinds of examples through 5, and then he summarized at the end of chapter 5, summary of Jesus says, therefore, aiming to live righteous lives, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Right, so there's a weightiness to what Jesus is challenging us as he challenges us about our religious practices, in this case prayer, but our striving for righteousness in those things. Because here's the thing, right? I think many of us could agree that it's much easier to pretend to be righteous than to actually be righteous. It's much easier. And that's a really big struggle. And this is where we fall. We can get ensnared in this in these traps and in this hypocritical way of approaching our prayer and our prayer practice. So we need to take these warnings. There's two warnings we're going to look at this morning together. And we need to take them very seriously as we look at what they mean for our lives. And the first one is this. Jesus' first warning comes in verse 5. We'll be looking at, pray not to be seen. So like I said, the issue for Jesus was not public prayer, but taking advantage of that and praying to be seen, to be noticed by other people. It's this idea of, you know, that the people were putting themselves in a position where they were seen as more holy or more righteous, and people enjoyed getting public attention. Now, obviously this is a very different prayer practice than we have nowadays. We don't participate in this type of prayer practice, per se. Some people do, but we don't. Many of us don't here. So what does this look like for us if we think about praying not to be seen? And this warning, Jesus says, pray not to be seen. So when we're praying to be seen, what does it look like? If we're praying to be seen, well, it looks like a couple things. Praying to be seen looks like needing to always have in our prayers the right cliches. Praying to be seen looks like striving for polished words and really neat and well-woven phrases. It looks like striving for intricate biblical connections and allusions and eloquence in our tone, in our presentation. This is what it looks like for us most often. Now, let me just clarify that these things in and out of themselves are not bad things. I'm not saying we should never do these things, okay? Just because you do this in your prayer practice doesn't mean that you are suddenly a hypocrite. But what I am saying, and what Jesus is getting at, is that when these things become the focus of our prayer, when our mind goes from, instead of focusing on who we're praying to and who we're coming before and the magnitude of coming before God in prayer, we're focusing on all these things. We're thinking, okay, I need to make sure that this sounds good. I need to make sure I don't stutter over my words. I need to make sure what kind of biblical connections can I make? Like we think about those things instead of thinking about our posture before God first. In summary, where we can think about it almost as like this kind of, it's sort of like a false humility. Where we're striving for the attention of people instead of looking for the attention from God and recognizing that that's what we're doing and that's what we're called to do. Jesus says, right, if your heart is in this frame of mind and if this is the heart behind your prayer practice, then you'll be rewarded, he says. Those people who pray like that to be seen by people, they'll be rewarded. And the reward is that people will notice them. People will say, wow, that was a great prayer. That was amazing. Or they'll notice you and they'll ask you to pray at things because you're really good at praying. But it's just driven by this attention for other people. Now, this is a big part of this, and this is a large emphasis, of course, Jesus mentioned this, but I think there's something else underlying this that's really important that we need to see. And it's almost like a bigger problem. So culturally, if we think about one of the shifts that has happened in our world is the shift to individualism. Over time, we've seen more and more a large emphasis in our culture on individualism, the focus on me, the focus on self and I. And one of the things that's happened with this is that, as a result, the center of our spirituality when it comes to, and our focus when it comes to our prayer has shifted. For many years, like for so long, starting from the early church, even before that in Jesus' day, and through history, the focus in prayer, in worship, and gathering has all been centered around the corporate gathering, the corporate experience of God in Christ. And this has formed, for so many years, our prayer life in particular. And with the shift to individualism, we move towards having a very inward-centered prayer focus, where it's about me, it's about I, it's about my relationship with God, instead of being formed by the bigger community and the bigger picture. Now, again, I'm creating a big picture, but let me clear this up again. I don't think that individual prayer is bad or wrong. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we need to hold both these things in tension, because they both are really important, and both are vital to our prayer practices, to our pursuit of life with God. But it's important that we hold both those things up, not one over the other, but both together. Okay? Because here, this is the thing. When we live lives that are marked by hypocrisy with our prayer practice, both in public and in private, okay, both in public and in private, we fall prey to the lie that we need to work so that we can be worthy of being seen by God. When our prayer lives and practices get entangled and snared by hypocrisy, we can fall prey to believe the lie that we need to work for God to see us, for God to recognize us. And that's just not true. Just plain not true. So that's the first warning from Jesus. Let's pray not to be seen. The second warning that Jesus gives is this: pray not to be heard. And so we go down to verse 7 in our text. He says this: when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so Jesus goes on to mention this second group of people, this second warning, this second practice of prayer. And he says, don't pray to be heard. Don't babble like the pagans. So think about Jesus is mentioning these people. The pagans would have been people who did not worship Yahweh, who the opposite of, like, you have the Jews on one side who worshiped God, and then you have the other side, they did not worship God. They worshiped actually other gods and other idols and many other gods, typically. So think about, if you want to think for a good visual on this, if you think back in your Bible to the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And you have this really amazing story, right, where Elijah calls the prophets, and there's like a showdown between Baal and God, and they make altars, and Elijah says, okay, you call on your God, and I'll call on Yahweh, and we'll see who's more powerful. And the prophets of Baal get up on the mountain, they start dancing, they start flailing, they start yelling, they start speaking nonsense, right? It's this ridiculous scene, right? It's a really great story. It's a really great, really great text. But it's absurd. It's over the top. And what it is that they were doing this, they were throwing everything out in the air, everything out in the open, because they didn't believe that God heard them. They didn't know if God was listening. They weren't confident. So this is the kind of prayer that Jesus is getting at when he says, pray not to be heard. So we ask ourselves, because again, that type of prayer practice is not something we would commonly see nowadays or do. And so what does it look for us if we're going to pray to be seen, or pray to be heard, sorry? Well, I think it has a lot of parallels. Unnecessary repetition is one thing. This is all intentional, right? Some of these things are not bad in and of themselves, but it's when these are intentionally done and placed, right? Unnecessary repetition, meaningless words, a lot of filler words, an excessive amount of empty words and phrases, like that just don't have any substance, that just don't have any meaning, don't have any genuineness behind them. Again, I realize that some people struggle with words, okay? So let me say, I'm not saying it if you stutter or anything like that you're all of a sudden a hypocrite when you're praying, but it's an intentionality. If our mindset is on, okay, I need to say all these things and do all these things and just get it all out there, because that's what many religions believe, that their gods wouldn't listen unless they said the right thing, and even then they didn't know the right thing to say. So they would just say everything that came to mind, everything that they could even think of or not think of, right? Because they didn't believe that their gods would answer. They didn't believe it. They didn't know if they were really listening or not. So ultimately, what is this? We could summarize, right? What does this look like for us? It looks like a lack of confidence, like not believing that God's actually listening. It's feeling the need to convince God to move and respond. It's instead of coming to him with genuine words and hearts and actions, knowing that he hears us, knowing that he does want to answer our prayers and respond to our prayers, it's coming and not being confident in that. Again, the rise of individualism plays a huge part on this, right? We shift to that inward culture, the inward motives of prayer. It's, I need to convince God that this is important. I need God to move because this matters to me. It becomes very inward-centered. And the reality is that we can start focusing on what it matters to us, what it means to us, what we want, instead of recognizing and being confident that God hears, that God knows, and that God responds. So again, the second, there's another lie that we fall prey to believing. When our lives, our prayer practices are marked with hypocrisy, we can fall prey to believing the lie that we need to dress up our prayers with elaborate language, elaborate actions, that we need to say and do all the right things in order to hear and respond to, that in order for God to hear and respond to our prayers. It's simply just not true. Simply not true. And so as we unpack these warnings, these two warnings from Jesus, there's two, right? Pray not to be seen, pray not to be heard. And these two warnings, it's kind of like Jesus paints for us a picture where he puts two ways, again, very different ways. You have the one perspective comes from the Jewish prayer practice, one comes from the Gentile prayer practice. Two ways in which our lives can be ensnared and entrapped by hypocrisy. Two ways in which oftentimes we don't really get it right in our prayer practices if we're not careful. And so with these two ways, Jesus has two kind of, I think, pressing questions and challenges for us. And the first comes to one group, and this comes to the, you know, to the group that that maybe you've been in church your whole life. Maybe you've been around the block when it comes to all these things. To the Sunday school, you've been in all these different youth group and ministries, and you're sitting in church every Sunday, and you're like, I'm good, I got this. I know how to pray. I know that God hears me. I'm good. We got this. And to these people, God says, look, are you gonna look for your value and your reward from other people, or are you gonna look to me and find your true value and true reward in seeking prayer and coming before me? Where are we gonna get our reward from? This is Jesus, what Jesus is challenging us to think about. Where are we gonna get our reward from? From other people and what they think about us, or from God and how he sees us and what he thinks about us? That's the first challenge and the first question. And then the second one, comes to those who are doubting. It comes to those who are struggling to believe that God actually is listening. It's for those of you who are looking at your life right now and thinking, okay, is God really in this? This is hard. This is not what I expected. Does God really care? Does he know? And to this, Jesus poses the question and says, just asks, will you bring all your concerns and prayers to him? Will you give all of your prayers and concerns to him, knowing that he hears and that he'll respond, knowing that he's good, knowing that he's good? What's incredible about this passage is that no matter what side, you know, if you think about these two kind of categories, no matter where you find yourself, either on one end or the other, or in somewhere in the middle, because that's a reality too. Wherever you find yourself, Jesus is trying to get us all to the same place. He's trying to draw us all to a place where we can confidently believe that our lives, regardless of circumstance, regardless of whatever's going on, that our lives are known and seen by God. Our lives are known and seen by God. That's where Jesus is trying to bring us to, a confidence in that. So the reality is that regardless of where you are in this spectrum, regardless of where you are, the reality is that you already have the full gaze and attention of God on your life. And you don't need to work to earn it. You don't need to. Why? Because God, in his grace and mercy, gives time and attention to our lives. He gives time and attention to our lives, to our needs, and he invites us to bring our prayers. That includes our praises, that includes our laments, and that includes everything in between, to bring them before him in confidence to him and him alone. So this is Jesus' warning for us. Pray not to be seen. Pray not to be heard. Why? Because this is beautiful truth this morning. He says, because your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you and knows what you need before you ask. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, in conversation, in fellowship, in music this morning, in worship, and also in word and in prayer. Holy Spirit, would you just guide us? Would you move in our lives? And we just ask that you'd reveal to us areas in which we need to heed these warnings from Jesus. Areas in which we need to keep track and really focus in on our prayer practice. Father, would you just give us the strength as we consider these things and as we reflect and think about what this means for us and how this plays out? Would you give us the strength to move and to be who you've called us to be, to live lives that are genuinely oriented towards you and the reward and the promise and the life that you give? We just thank you for this time together. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.